مارك السهابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners, we welcome you to this program. It is Friday, Jumu'ah, beautiful day, 6th of Ramadan, 1446, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 7th of March, 2025. Let's welcome Mufti Muhammad Akusab, Hafidhahullah. Mufti Sahab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ma'azaita. Jazakum Allah khairan for the opportunity.
Jazakum Allah khairan for joining us. How's everything Ramadan going, Mufti Sahab?
Allah's mercy, time is passing so rapidly. The first week is already ended. And Allah help us, you know, mashallah, capitalize. What a bounty. The month of Ramadan, the feeling is definitely different, alhamdulillah. Shayateen are locked up. The environment, alhamdulillah. Allah help the ummah and Allah help one and all keep cool and keep calm and have akhlaq, alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. Mufti Sahab, what's the message for today?
MashaAllah, the my respected ummah, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, we have to capitalize on this month and we have to keep the sanctity of this month. This month is sacred. This month is Mubarak. Prior to this month entering, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, قَدْ أَظَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ مُبَارَكٌ. O my ummah, such a month has dawned upon you. A month that is great, a month that is blessed. A month that has a night that's better than 1,000 months. So from the beginning, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exhorted us to value the month. Search for Laylatul Qadr. And in this hadith, how many times Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exhorted feeding others, serving others, lightening the burden on others. So from the temperament of Ramadan, we learn that never harm, we should never harm people. We should never be vulgar with people. And we should never let the hunger be an excuse to vulgarity or oppression. The hunger was actually for us to benefit spiritually, for us to remember the poor, for us to remember the hungry, for us to remember the needy throughout the world, in Palestine, in the West Bank, for us to remember the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So not oppression, harming others, no, that is never justified. We have to spend the month correctly. There's a beautiful hadith in Tabrani. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there are 12 months Allah gave us. And we have to obey Allah in all. But Allah's Nabi said, فَحْذَرُوا شَهْرَ رَمْضَانِ. But be cautious in this month of Ramadan. Meaning we have to make sure we keep our cool, we keep our calm in the month of Ramadan. And so in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also said that Allah yubahi bikum malaikata. Allah is boasting to the angels about your actions. فَأَبُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ خَيْرًا. So prove yourself to Allah. Show our Allah what you prepared to do for him, how much you will do. Increase in everything. Allah in the hadith says, فَإِنَّ الشَّقِيَّ مَنْ حُرِمَ فِيهِ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Really, indeed, the wretched is the one who is deprived of Allah's mercy in the month of Ramadan. So we should never let that happen. Allah save us from being in the bracket of the deprived ones. Actually, in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said three ameens. And imagine Allah's Nabi who came as a mercy to humanity. But he's saying Ameen. And one of these du'as, because Sahaba asked him, we heard you say Ameen as you climbed onto the minbar. The beloved of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jibreel appeared and said, distance from Allah's mercy is he who lives through the month of Ramadan and does not attain the mercy of Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Ameen. But interesting is the fact that why did he say Ameen? Is because the pedestal to get Allah's mercy in Ramadan is so low, meaning it's so easy. Allah made it so easy. The environment is there. The masjid are full. The iftar is there. There's so much opportunity for one who wants to change. There's so many chances Allah is giving us. And still someone doesn't come right and is not managing to leave his wrong. Really, then this is a person who's up to no good whatsoever. And he doesn't want the mercy of Allah. Basically, that's why Rasulullah said, Ameen. That beloved Nabi of Allah who came as a mercy. said Ameen to a bad dua of Jibreel alayhi salam. So this dua is conquered and is strengthened by two of the greatest of people. One is the greatest of Anbiya alayhi salam, Janab Muhammad Mustafa Ahmad Mujtaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the other being none other than the greatest of the Malaika of Allah, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. نزل به الروح الأمين على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين بلسان عربي مبين وإنه لفي زبر الأولين. So great. Jibreel alayhi salam said, distance from Allah's mercy is he who receives this mantra from Allah and doesn't acquire Allah's forgiveness. This is because Allah has made it so easy. Allah is granting us so much and so many opportunities to change in this month. So really, every one of us have to pull up our socks and make right with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we harmed anybody, we have to seek forgiveness and we have to see through this month in a manner that is best. Allah give us tawfiq. Then inshallah we go into our discussions of events in this month inshallah. So among the first and the greatest of events that happened in this month. So let's link both together. One is the wahi. The first time wahi ever came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the month of Ramadan. It was coinciding with the August 610 after Isa alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend the month of Ramadan in seclusion, in the ibadah, and he would spend long periods in ghar shira, and sometimes he used to pack food and take with him and spend days there in meditation, worrying about the plight of humanity, seeking Allah's guidance about the way forward. And one day, all of a sudden, Jibreel alayhi salam appears before our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had never seen the angel before. And the angel then, subhanallah, says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't read because looking in a book and reading and writing was not common to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah prophesied Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the previous books as the unlettered messenger. And subhanallah, our scholars say, when interpreting this, when translating it, we have to be very respectful. This is not ignorance on the part of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the miracle of the Quran. Like there was one person who, and I generally share this with the students, he was weak and poor in writing, and in his articulation of the Arabic language, he would make a lot of mistakes. And His grammar was, you know, full of mistakes. So Al-Ma'mun, who was the Khalifa of the time, said to him, that, you know, this is incorrect. The way you are writing, the way you are articulating the words, and your grammatical mistakes. So this, you have to put this right. So that man justified his condition by saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't read and write. So Al-Ma'mun said, you know, I thought you had three faults in you, but I see there's a fourth, which is total ignorance. That in Rasulullah was most eloquent. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most knowledgeable. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was intelligence par excellence. The fact that he didn't read physically or write with his Mubarak hand was a miracle and a prophecy of him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prophesied in the prior scriptures. That's not a justification for us not to correct our writing and our reading and our articulation. So what we learn from there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was most knowledgeable, subhanallah. But the fact that such a Nabi of Allah who didn't read and write, but he brought, meaning Allah gave him, such a book, ya Allah, that is the greatest of books, that was revealed in the greatest of months. This in itself was a challenge to humanity, that no one can produce such a book. So when he's told to read, he answers honestly, You know, I cannot. And interestingly, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is mentioned in the previous books like this as well. And the book is delivered to him who was not learned, saying to him, read this. And he said, I cannot read. The verse is still present in the Bible up to today, referring to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's first encounter with Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. So clearly Allah left it to people who are looking for the truth to find it, even in their books that were distorted. Allah kept enough for the sincere ones to see the truth. And so interestingly, there's one of the students here who came to our room 2 years ago. So it's not, you know, it's so nice to greet people. So I just greeted him randomly and we got speaking. So I asked him his story, how he became Muslim. He said, during the COVID time, there was no church ceremonies, and he was called for a Bible study. So he attended during the COVID, that they prayed. And in the discussion, they were disrespecting our Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At that time, he was not a believer in Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they were disrespecting Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and so forth. And that's what many of the forces of Baatil do. They attack the image of our Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And sadly, us as Muslims, we don't speak out about our Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't educate the world about the greatness, about the akhlaq, about the amazing lifestyle, about the amazing words and teachings of our Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We just remain silent and keep quiet and live our life like normal, as though we got no mission and purpose. So in this, he says, when they were insulting Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was a young man. He was very well versed in the Bible. He said, I asked him, and how can you speak against a messenger of God? They said, no, he's not the messenger, this and that. He says, no, he's mentioned in our books. He says, from my own study, I could see verses referred to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, then I went to study it further and it became so clear. And that, alhamdulillah, prompted him to him, his mother, his siblings, all embraced Islam, alhamdulillah. So the angel of Allah says, read. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I cannot read. Then the angel squeezed our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَطَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجَهْدِ وَضَمَّنِي. The angel hugged me, squeezed me tight to exertion. And then he released. And then he said again, repeated, read. And this procedure continued 3 times. And when this happened like that, then the angels, the verses of the Quran were revealed. And these are the first verses revealed in the Holy Quran. Subhanallah. And that is, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. These 5 verses, subhanallah, of Surah Iqra, were the first verses to be revealed of the entire Quran. I would love our listeners to take note of this when making tilawa. You'll see the number in your mushaf. See Allah subhanahu, the number is 96, and on the other side is number 1. That 1 is the sequence of the surah in the Quran, that is the sequence of the chapter in Revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, read in the name of thy Lord who has created. He created man from a clot of blood, single clot of blood. Read, and your Lord is most honored, your Lord is most honorable. He has taught man the usage of the pen. He has taught man what man knew not. It's amazing, is the Quran. Then the other verses were revealed thereafter. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطُغَى. Amazing is the Quran. Allah tells us about reading, about learning. So read is repeated. First is to read deen, read Quran, read Sunnah. This is an exhortation for all of us. And also we should learn, alhamdulillah, we should want to learn more and know more of Quran and Sunnah and what is beneficial. Allah has taught man the usage of the pen. You know, you utilize the pen, learn with earnestness, write correctly, read correctly. That also is exhorted in our deen. Indirectly, it could be referred to here catch our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara. Those captives who were literate, who were well versed in reading and writing, but they couldn't pay the ransom money of 4,000 dirhams, were not just released, but were given 10 children from Medina Munawwara. And under supervision, were to teach those children literacy and the capability of writing and reading. What we learn, Al-Mawlana Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi highlights here, that the importance of learning, the importance of seeking, the importance of aspiring to know and knowledge, the respect of knowledge, subhanAllah. But then also the quality of knowledge. With knowledge, we should have the thirst and the desire to teach people and guide people, not be haughty and arrogant, because knowledge alone can bring arrogance. That's why after the five verses, Allah Ta'ala says, verily man transgresses that he sees himself self-sufficient and independent. كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى وَالرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. He thinks, you know, he is totally independent. He doesn't realize. So for our very existence, we need our Allah. To wake up in the morning, we need Allah. To swallow the morsel, we need Allah's help. To swallow one sip, we need Allah's help. To lift a finger, if Allah doesn't allow us, we can't even lift a finger. If Allah doesn't allow us, we can't blink an eyelid. Allahu istaghna. But man haughtily thinks, oh, mehu, me, set up. Nobody can tell me anything. I know what to do. Allahu Akbar. Humbleness, humility. So after the verses of seeking and learning, Allah warns about haughtiness and arrogance. Inna ila rabbika ruj'a. Verily, to your Lord is the return. And Quran poses the question, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى الْهُدَى أَوْ أَمَرَ بِالتَّقْوَى أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Allah says, tell me, أَرَأَيْتَ means tell me, أخبر me. And also means, did you see the one who stops and forbids? Yanha. Who is he forbidding? Abadan. This tanween, which also refers to indefinite. You get a definite particle, alif lam, and you get indefinite. But indefinite comes for greatness according to the context. Here it's greatness. Do you see that one who stops a great banda of Allah when that banda of Allah is trained? And did you see the one who stops him? But doesn't he know if that individual he is stopping is on guidance and advocating Allah consciousness? Amara bit taqwa, the consciousness of Allah. To be cautious not to harm others, to be conscious of the command of Allah. Tell me about him who's stopping Allah's banda while he's praying. That he is denying and turning away. He's turning away and he's trying to stop Allah's beloved from praying. Does he not know? أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that Allah sees everything? Allah is watching. يَرَى is مُضَارِع. Allah is watching. So I shouldn't say sees. Allah is seeing everything. بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Allah is seeing everything. Allah is watching. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Then Allah says, Kalla. It's what Kalla is so interesting. When it's connected to the previous verse, it's a negation. That never, that should not be the attitude of a person. And when Kalla is connected to the next verse, the forthcoming one, it means indeed, indeed, verily, most definitely, لَإِن لَمْ يَنْتَهْ. If this individual does not desist and stop from such an arrogant way that he stops the banda of Allah from worship, Allah said, لَنَسْفَعَمْ بِالنَّاصِيَةِ. We will grip him by the forelock. نَاصِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ. A lying, sinful forelock. فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَةٍ. So let him call his clique, his gang, his cronies. سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَةِ. We will indeed call the angels. We will unleash the angels upon him. Kalla. Indeed. La tuti'hu. Don't listen to him, O my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You continue in thy prayer. Wasjud. Continue with sajda. Waqtarib. And continue acquiring proximity unto Allah. Closeness to Allah through Quran, through Salah. What we learn from here, subhanAllah, is so much. The background of this event was referring to, obviously, Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying, and Abu Jahl couldn't bear it. And he said, if I see him do this again here in public by the Kaaba, Allah, he didn't realize Kaaba belongs to Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has most right over the Kaaba. He is the final Nabi of Allah, prophesied and sent by Allah for humanity's guidance. Abu Jahl, in his haughtiness and flamboyance and arrogance, he challenges. He says, I'll show him. Tomorrow he does this again, I'll blast him with this rock. And when he does that, next day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was performing his salah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even in the early Meccan stage, performed his salah openly by the Kaaba. The Sahaba didn't do so openly in the early stages. When the Sahaba was suppressed and oppressed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's level of faith obviously is beyond what we can fathom. The greatest of Allah's creation, subhanAllah. So he didn't worry. Even when people came to Makkah asking for assistance against elite, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when they came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he always helped. He could never ever say no to anyone. He would never say no to any of Allah's creation. He would help all and sundry. Abu Jahl charges towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with a rock. And then he rushes backward, flinging the rock to the side. And in fright and fear, and they asked him, what happened? He said, I saw between him and I, the khandaqum min nar. There was a trench of fire. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even if he came forward, the malaika would have torn him apart, limb by limb. And Allah Ta'ala says, he is stopping Allah's banda. And in this verse, you find a lot of disgrace for Abu Jahl, but great honor for Muhammad. Are you stopping my banda because he is on hidayah and advocating Allah consciousness? Don't you know Allah is watching? Then Allah. And interestingly, in Arabic, when you speak to a person in the third person, it's lesser of respect than speaking directly. It's called ghaib and khitab. So Quran is saying, doesn't Abu Jahl know Allah is watching? Doesn't he know Allah is watching? So Quran doesn't name Abu Jahl because he's too unworthy to be named. And Quran addresses him in the third person. Doesn't he know? Allah with his authority is saying. And indeed, if he does not desist and stop, we will snatch his and we will take him by the nasiyah. And you grab one by the forehead. It's a very disgraceful thing. Grabbing one by the forehead and you're holding him, his tuft of hair that's there, and you're channeling him as to where you want to take him and where you want to pull him. It's a very disgraceful way. So basically, Quran is disgracing him. We will grab him by the forelock, nasiyah, the front of the head. Then the Quran Kareem says, nasiyatin kadhibatin khati'ah. Now this front area, prefrontal area, this area, this region is the nasiyah. Now the Quran Kareem says, a lying, sinful nasiyah. Quran is referring to this front area, prefrontal area. And Quran says that nasiyah, that front area of Abu Jahl is lying and sinful. Now amazing is the fact that scientists have studied this. Because at first, when you study what Mufassirin say of the past, they say Quran is mentioning the forehead, but referring to the body, referring to the person. And there is one balagha way of that. You mention the hand, but you refer to the person. Allah will punish his hands, meaning Allah will punish him. You mention a limb, but you refer to the whole thing, the whole body. So the Mufassirin said, this is what it is referred to here. The forelock is mentioned, but the whole body is meant. And actually, after the studies of the scientists like Professor Keith Al Moore and others, they find when they analyze the entire head and the skull of the human body, they find that the front part of the head, the prefrontal area, is the part that is actually responsible for lying, for speaking the truth, and for plotting, for planning. This area is the cerebrum. This area, the cerebrum, is responsible for planning, motivating, initiating good and sinful behavior, and is responsible for telling lies and speaking the truth. Thus, it is proper, meaning most proper and precise, to describe the front part of the head as lying and sinful when someone lies or commits a sin. So the way the Quran describes it is immaculate. Now, subhanAllah, how amazing is the Quran? I would exhort one and all, read a book on the miracles of the Quran. You get so many. And a very simple one is a book called A Brief Illustrated Guide to Understanding Islam. But respected Ummah, I'm not telling you to read it for yourself. Go through it, to connect to Quran in the month of Ramadan, read a lot of Quran. But we want you to share this message with your non-Muslim staff. You have intellectual staff, intellectual friends, colleagues, associates. And they all don't know about the Quran. But how are they going to know? Who is going to tell them? That might be a question to you. You have to tell them. You, my brother. And the sisters, you have to tell the sisters. So this book, you can tell them some few aspects of many. The Quran on the human embryonic development. The Quran on mountains. The Quran on the origin of the universe. The Quran on the cerebrum. The Quran on seas and rivers. The Quran on deep seas and internal waves. The Quran on clouds. Then scientists comment on the scientific miracles in the Quran. So the book then quotes scientists known to the world. But then the book also quotes their acknowledgements and their marveling at the fact that how did the Quran make such pronouncements 1400 years ago and get it right on the nail each time. This can never be a coincidence. Coincidentally, you could have got it one or two times right. Quran hits it on the nail every time. Now, this you are listening to, respected Ummah. What about the 97% of our country? What about the billions out there in the world? Who's going to tell them? You have to start in your circle, respected Ummah. Let's not shirk in our duties as we have been doing for so long. In this chapter, this is the first chapter to be revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to connect to the Quran. And here, this was Abu Jahl, where Allah disgraces him. He tries to stop Allah's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, that magnanimous, mighty, grand, great, the greatest of Allah's creation. Nothing can stop him. Where barking dogs can affect the skies? Allahu Akbar. And Allah says, you continue, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't listen to him. Wasjud, continue with sajda, waqtarib, and acquiring proximity to Allah. Now see how beautiful is the synchronized Quran, how beautifully synchronized, how amazing is the system. Allah commands us, get close to Allah. Now the question comes about, O Allah, how is the best way to acquire thy proximity? So in the next chapter, which is 97, the previous chapter was 96, now 97, Allah teaches us the best way to get close to Allah is through the book that was revealed in the night of power. So Allah is answering our question that, Allah, we want to get close to you. You've told us in chapter 96, the first surah to be revealed in the Quran, to get close to you and obey you no matter what the world says. How are we going to do that? So Allah, next chapter teaches us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. No time to explain this now, inshallah we'll explain it, but see this point here. Allah says we revealed it. Allah doesn't even tell us we revealed the Quran, because in Arabic this is to teach us, this is called a tamir, the pronoun, and this is to teach us that the tamir only comes when what is mentioned now was referred to earlier explicitly. So, but this is the beginning of the surah. Where was it referred to explicitly? So basically the Quran is saying, is telling us that the Quran should already be in your heart. It doesn't have to be explicitly referred to earlier on. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ indeed we revealed it, meaning the Quran Kareem, fi Laylatul Qadr. So just to crux and culminate this discussion, acquire proximity to Allah through Quran. Love Quran, Quran Kareem, listen to Quran Kareem, learn the Quran Kareem, increase in the Quran Kareem, have passion for the Quran Kareem, serve the Quran Kareem, spread the Quran Kareem to the whole world. But very importantly, what the Quran Kareem is, the Sunnah Mubarakah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us before Judgment Day, there will be those who say, it's only Quran when they are visited in their homes. They said, no, we only read Quran. Allah's Nabi said, my hadith is part of the Quran. Allah give us the understanding. Sallallahu ala nabiyyi ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.